Our reading today is from Romans. This is the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine." I will repay, says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here ends the reading. Let us pray. Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we seek to prepare a vision for our church in the future, to understand our larger mission as Christians, and to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. I think we have a real future in this church in music. You're in fine voice today, I must say. Welcome back to all the snowbirds. Once upon a time, some 2 centuries ago, Hawaii was the center of seagoing commerce. Whalers and traders and adventurers of all kinds stopped there to trade. They brought guns, alcohol, and worse, diseases. Just as what happened to native peoples on the mainland, the locals had no protection against the diseases and addictions that swept their communities. Not long afterwards, the first congregational missionaries from our newly formed Foreign Missionary Society arrived and began establishing churches. In 1893, the U.S. military arrived and took over most of the main buildings in Honolulu. By this time, Westerners, some of whom were descendants of the original missionaries, controlled much of Hawaii through business dealings, privatization of land, and government influence. Native Hawaiians were devastated by the total disruption of their culture, traditions, economy, religion, and government. They suffered terribly from the alien diseases. And then the descendants of the original missionaries, along with the U.S. military, overthrew the Hawaiian monarchy, even though the queen was a Christian. This conquest was seen as part of American manifest destiny, which justified imperial expansion from Cuba to the Philippines. Now, nearly a century later, in 1991, the Hawaiian UCC churches brought a resolution supporting native Hawaiian sovereignty to General Synod. For those of you who are new to the United Church of Christ, General Synod is a gathering of the church which happens every 2 years. Each region of the UCC chooses delegates to attend and conduct the business of the church. The interesting thing about General Synod is that because each region can elect delegates, the resulting gathering is the voice of the people of the church. It's not the voice of a remote hierarchy or a bishop or some kind of CEO. Rather, it's the voice of the people of the church. At General Synod, delegates vote on various resolutions and recommendations and make decisions about a wide variety of issues. But here's the unique twist that is at the heart of the United Church of Christ. General Synod speaks to the church, but never for the church. What that means is, although the people of the church meet and vote to make decisions, the local churches can make up their own minds about whether to agree or to take action. And in the UCC, just as the Hawaiians did, local churches can initiate resolutions to bring before General Synod. Now remember last year when Jack and Len and I went to General Synod in Long Beach? In the weeks before we went, we held discussion groups on Sundays to chew on the resolutions that would be presented at Synod. We were already thinking about what actions, if any, we would take concerning those resolutions. So in 1991, when churches brought a resolution in support of the Native Hawaiians to Synod, the gathering thoughtfully considered the proposal. The resolution contained hard words. It said, "In recognition of our historic complicities in the illegal overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy in 1893, Synod directs the Office of President of the United Church of Christ to offer a public apology to the Native Hawaiian people." The delegates voted in agreement. Not only that, but Synod directed that a process be initiated of reconciliation and financial reparations. UCC President Paul Sherry went to Hawaii in 1993, and standing before a crowd of 10,000 people, he delivered that apology. Some 11 months later, the U.S. government issued a similar apology. Now, I tell you this story because I think it is a powerful statement about who we are as the United Church of Christ. It speaks to how we make decisions as the larger church, how we act on our Christian faith, and how each church makes decisions based on its own beliefs. Perhaps you are aware of how other denominations are currently arguing about various issues, and some are in danger of splitting entirely. And certainly we have our disagreements in the UCC, even in this church. We are a diverse, dominant denomination, and I don't mind saying we're pretty feisty, especially in this church. We do agree, however, on chocolate. Even with our differences over the years, our decisions at Synod tell a story about who we are and what we are at the core. Now, in our scripture today, Paul is giving instructions to the early church at Rome. His words ring true for our own church today. He writes, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another in mutual affection." In his list of instructions, we can see that down through the centuries, the church has been faced with the challenge of naming, articulating, and living out its life as Christian communities. In Paul's day, and the early church in Rome was struggling with how to stand in contrast to the imperial Roman system of that defined life by privilege, power, and social conformity. They wanted to live differently as communities defined by the life and teachings of Jesus. Theodore Eleazar Fernandez of the United Church of Christ in the Philippines writes, "Against outside pressures, those who live in the power of Christ engage in a way of being and acting that seeks to embody genuine love, mutual regard, humility, solidarity, peace, and harmony." Fernandez says, "This way of being that cares not only for the members of the faith community, but also for the wider community, particularly the strangers in our midst." And that's what we in the United Church of Christ are called to do and be. Through the years, the United Church of Christ at General Synod have given voice to acting on God's call. In 1969, Synod participants called for an end to capital punishment. In 1981, we have voted for immigrant human rights. In 1997, we called for a global ban on anti-personnel landmines. Also in that year, we stood with African American Christians when 124 of their churches were firebombed in a number of states. In 1987 and again in 2001, we pressed for action by the U.S. government concerning the AIDS crisis in Africa. We advocated reducing substantially or forgiving altogether the economic debt of those African nations in which AIDS was particularly severe. In 2005, we voted to reject any attempts to privatize Social Security and encourage local churches to conduct legislative advocacy against privatization. In the same year, and you may remember this, in the same year, we voted to affirm marriage equality for all couples, 2005. This was not the first time we took action in this arena. In 1977, we lobbied states to legislatively recognize that traditional marriage is not the only stable living unit entitled to legal protection. In 1993, Synod called on the church for greater leadership to end discrimination against gays and lesbians. In 1997, and again in 2007, we called for action on the legal right to physician-assisted death. In 2009, we advocated health care for all Americans. In 2011, we voted for this adoption of children by loving parents without regard to social orientation or gender expression. Also in that year, we spoke out against anti-Muslim hatred. Indeed, against all types of hostility towards other faith groups, calling on the church to learn more about other religions. In 2013, we called for an end to the efforts to undermine the status of women in society. Sadly, this is not the first time that we have needed to support this position. The value and dignity of women in the church and society has been reaffirmed at Synod in 1969, 83, 89, 91, 95, and it continues to be a cultural and economic issue. And the last Synod, 2013, was a particularly busy one in which we spoke in favor of compassionate care and healing for our veterans. We also spoke out against bullying and violence in schools. That same year, we took action about climate change, supporting local and legislative involvement and divestment from fossil fuels reliance, and the supporting energy-based companies. This was the second year that we urged action on climate change. The first year was 2007. Friends, the United Church of Christ has always been, since our earliest days, a social justice church. We have stood many, many times with the marginalized, the oppressed, and the voiceless. And such advocacy carries a heavy cost. We have lost members and even churches with some of our positions. And yet, we continue to work together, to listen to each other, and to carefully consider how to conduct our lives and our church life as Christians. Over the years, as Paul writes, we've held fast. As a church family, we've worked to let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection. May it be so. Amen.